Welcome. Welcome, brother.
Welcome, brother.
This is the Phil Henry Show, brother.
Yes, brother. Come in. Sit down. Take a load off.
As we get into the last hour here of our great show. Our number is 855-500-7445. Stephen Bozell with us. I'm not even going to go into much of an intro because this poor man has been on hold now. Steve, how you doing?
Yes, sir.
Stephen Bozell of Corona, California. Send in the clowns. Hall of Fame looks to partner with Circus World. And this is an interesting article out of Baraboo. First of all, we had a real good time trying to figure out here on staff where Baraboo was. Because it looked, you know, as I was mentioning to Bud and everybody else thought it was some Southeast Asian country.
No, Baraboo is in Wisconsin, and that's a discussion maybe for another day, because Baraboo is in Wisconsin, and that's probably a discussion for another day.
Why are you reticent to talk about that?
Well, I think Wisconsin has taken its fair share. It, you know, I heard you the last few nights on your show, Mr. Henry, referring to taking it off the chin. And I think if ever there was a state that's taken more than one or two shots off the chin, it's probably Wisconsin. You know, it's a state that has had every kind of cannibal. It's a beautiful state. It has the cheese farms and different cheeses, you know.
Yeah. Wisconsin is the cheese state, no question about it.
And it's a dairy land, farmland. You've been there. I know you visited there. But it also has cannibal killer. It has men that eat flesh, and they gouge the eyes out of corpses and put them in, you know, and walk around going, ooh, look at me.
What did you just say?
I'm talking about we're talking about Wisconsin, aren't we?
Yeah. You said they cut the eyes out of corpses and walk around going, look at me.
Yeah, I mean that's what Gene did. He had these two human eyeballs, and he'd walk into town with the eyeballs up on his eyes and going, hey, look at me. Didn't he do that?
I never heard of Ed Gein doing anything like that, General.
And the reading that I've done about Ed Gein, and I made Ed Gein a personal area of study and expertise, I never heard any such thing.
All right, well, then I stand corrected, General. I apologize.
You may be thinking of some other psychopath or psychotic killer, but I don't know of Ed Gein. Now, Ed Gein did fashion masks and so forth.
Yeah, we're all aware of that. But the eyeballs...
In my imagination, that's what I think he would have done. I mean, in my most frightened times, thinking of Ed Gein and everybody, oh, God, now I'm thinking all about it.
Are you doing some breathing there, Steve?
I am, yes, ma'am. You just give me a moment, Mr. Henry.
Go ahead.
Who
are you?
Who?
Shut up, bud.
Wisconsin, getting back to Wisconsin, there's a town called Baraboo, and they have a newspaper called the News Republic. I don't think the Hall of the Clown is got anything to do with that.
Okay, that was just an article that we found.
What will the Hall of Fame be called?
Right now, I think the de facto name, the working title is the Hall of the Clown. And
what? What do you mean the Hall of the Clown?
That's the Hall of Fame, man. God, is it too hard for you to get or something?
No.
And I just got done telling you.
But listen and then ask questions later. All right, Greg DeSanto has extended a hand of partnership to Circus World Museum and swears he isn't holding a joy buzzer. DeSanto is the executive director of the International Clown Hall of Fame, which wants to establish an exhibit at Circus World. His presentation Thursday to the board that operates Circus World was warmly received. It seems like a no-brainer to me, Circus World Museum Foundation board member Dave Hoffman said. You're going to enhance with your Hall of Fame what we're doing here. DeSanto and Hall of Fame board member Sandy Weber presented placards illustrating the interactive exhibits that would be displayed, as well as a brief video about the history of clowning at Circus World.
Yeah, and the other thing I think that's great about the clown hall is that once these guys go down there to Circus World, and they say, okay, look, I've got me a clown hall, and you got the circus world. Now let's put two and two together and make that come out five. I don't think there's any way you say no to that. The only thing you have to be afraid of if you're circus world is these guys want to get more than their fair share at the trough, you know. And by that I mean I think circus world needs to take over the clown Hall of Fame. And I think Circus World needs to operate the Clown Hall of Fame within the confines and under the aegis of Circus World. And these guys, pay them off, pay them a pretty penny if you want to, but you don't need another couple of snouts at the trough.
All right, so you're talking about the political as well as the financial control of the Clown Hall of Fame.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, hold on for a minute. You're doing it again, Margaret.
What's that?
You're going to the Clown Hall of Fame. Every time you...
Now, Phil, don't worry, all right? I'll do me, you do you. Just as Drake said, what am I doing, what am I doing? Oh, that's right, I'm doing me.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Well, ain't that great? But we're doing a show right now.
I'm doing me.
All right, Steve.
Well, good thing somebody's doing her. Hello?
Uh-oh.
Mr. Bozell, I can assure you that the next time you're on this program, I'll have nothing to do with any interview with you. Goodbye. I'm going to sit this one out.
I guess I screwed up, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it was a good little line, though. It wasn't it, Dickman?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but you know, she's sitting right there. At least somebody's doing. I mean, there's a time and a place.
There's got to be a time and place, man.
Yeah, that was very ill-timed.
Yes, it was very ill-timed.
All right, Margaret, we understand. You're sitting this one out, remember?
Margaret, why don't you just sit down, have a glass. I think there's a bottle of red wine in there.
Do I look like an alcoholic? Is that what you people think?
Margaret, just... So, Steve, tell me about when the Cloud Hall of Fame was actually established.
Well, it was established in 1986, and it was in a variety of different places. Right now it's in Baraboo, and that is in Wisconsin. It's currently housed in rented office space in downtown Baraboo, where it drew
2,200.
Yeah, yes, sir. It drew 2,200.
Why can't you say that?
I'm just nervous as hell, and now I butchered it up with Miss Gray. Would you please tell her I'm sorry?
Yes, I will. I will communicate that. I know that you probably, you know.
No, it's nothing against her. It drew two.
Well, let's move past it. 2,200.
2,200 visitors paying $5 each.
You just said a good dare.
Right, but just don't make me think about it. Because now watch, I'll think about it. It drew two.
What is it? You and the last guy, Jay Santos with the L. We got a disease going through this building today. It's called no talk.
Wait, it's called no good talk.
Yeah, no, it's called no talk good.
Okay, great. Whatever it's called, let's make sure the CDC knows about it before we leave the studio tonight, okay? Because I think it's catching. All right, so...
That's a pretty good little line right there, too, Mr. Henry.
I'm not kidding. I mean, there's something wrong around here.
Are you saying that I've got something mental wrong with me?
Would you just let me finish interviewing you, Steve? You could go out and blow your brains out for all I care.
Thank you very much.
Told you.
He hung up.
Yeah.
Told you.
You didn't tell me anything.
Yes, I did. I told you the guy was squirrely.
You know, I'm getting a little sick and tired of trying to move an interview along, and then I got, we get sidetracked to the point where I forget what it is we're talking about. That's what pisses me off.
Well, Phil, you need to keep notes, and
nobody should have to take notes on what the topic of the hour is. No one should have to do that. I shouldn't have to take notes. I should know. I should not be sidetracked to the point where I forget what the hell it is we're talking about. We've gone from the Clown Hall of Fame to a guy having a speech impediment to I'll bet somebody's got to do her to, you know, I made some smart comment. Everything but the Clown Hall of Fame. Baraboo, where's that? I find out now, Bud, thank you very much for your research, that Baraboo is not only in Wisconsin, it's where the Clown Hall of Fame is.
How am I supposed to know that?
By reading the article, so I've got the information.
Yeah.
You know, what you ought to do is quit relying on this knucklehead for the information that you need and do it yourself.
I don't have the time, man. That's why you got people producing for you. All right, we'll come back and we'll continue talking about the Clown Hall of Fame, I guess. I don't know, unless anybody's interested.
I don't think anyone could care. The only person that was interested was Bozell.
Do you want to walk in here, please?
Is he still here?
No, he's not on the air.
The only one that was interested in this was Steve Bozell, and thankfully, mercifully, thank God. And I don't believe in God, but thank God. He's no longer on the air.
Okay, folks, you figure that one out. She doesn't believe in God.
Don't point your finger at me and call me she.
He?
He.
That was a pretty good one.
Really?
Never mind.
Yeah, so we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. More on Clownland or Clown Hall or the Hall of the Clown or whatever in Baraboo, Wisconsin. It's the Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Welcome back. Stephen Bozell with us on the line as we talk about, really, your business, Steve, is the construction business. I think we need to let people know that. But you, on the weekends, are a birthday clown for kids' shows. You do stand-up comedy.
I do it all, and I do it all, and I do it all. I do it twice weekly. And I sent some cards. I don't know if you can use those, Mr. Hendry. I'd appreciate if you pass those out to anybody that you know.
I certainly will, sir.
All right. But, yeah, I do a clown act. I do a circus act. I don't do a circus act, although I did do a circus act that many people told me was very, very, what do you call it, adventurous or...
It was rather bold.
Well, yeah, I mean, they said that it was never been done before as a circus act, and I did a trapeze act, and I did jumping out of a little car like a clown. It took space to do that, but I always advertised, Steve Bozell works within the confines of your world, call me at, you know, and then I have my number.
I'm sorry?
This is the advertising he did for his clown, for the birthday clown?
Well, yeah, I mean, I did a birthday clown, I did a circus act, and I did stand-up comedy.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, and my slogan for the circus act was, Steve Bozell works within the confines of your world. Call me at, boom, you know, XYZ. I forget the number. I think I had, like, 1-800-CLOWN, you know, live clown life or something. I know that my wife, April, she went and she secured Clown Life and a couple of other names.
On the phone.
On the phone, yeah. So it would be 1-800 Clown Life.
Okay, Stephen Bozell with us as we discuss. So what do you think about the Clown Hall of Fame? What do you think about Circus World? What do you think of the world of the circus itself? Does it have legs? Is it going to last in the 21st century?
Well, you know, Mr. Andrew, that's hard to say. I think it will. I think the circus is probably one of the greatest things that's ever happened to the human race. I mean, at a time when we desperately, desperately need to be entertained, the circuses, man, there's nothing better. There's nothing better than a circus. And I've tried to the best of my ability, try to tell people about it. I tell them and I tell them and I tell them and I tell them. And my church, which is the Corona First Avenue Church, and I do stand-up comedy over there for the men's club. I've tried to tell them over and over. I said, if you don't have a circus, just the better part of life is passing you by. And we've got to have a circus. We've got to get a circus in here, and we've got to do it soon. Or we're not going to raise the kind of money we need to raise for a 21st century church in a large metropolitan area like Los Angeles. We have got to raise money to keep the our congregants and
are you talking about the total congregants in the church?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, just say the total congregants in the church.
Oh, okay. I was going to use a word like,
what's aggregate?
That means the total. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the total number of the aggregate. The total number of
you got to slow down. We got a lot of people being nervous here tonight.
Yeah, I understand. I'm very nervous. I'm so nervous. I can't think. My throat. It's almost like I can't swallow.
Do you need to take Jay? You don't have to be on the air tonight. You can take the evening off.
No, I want to. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. Let me just breathe. Oh.
Now, what are you doing?
I'm just doing a breathing exercise, Mr. Andy. I'm sorry. My doctor tells me, because I ran out of Xanax, so...
I understand.
Are you sure? Phil, maybe we shouldn't have him.
Well, let's see how he does. Okay, what are you doing, man?
What's that?
What are you doing?
It sounds vulgar.
It sounds what?
It sounds vulgar.
Santos, are you Bozell?
Yes, sir.
It sounds like you're doing something disgusting.
I'm just doing a breathing exercise.
A breathing exercise?
Yes, sir. God, man.
All right, I'm sorry. I take it back. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Can I continue?
Yeah, then we got to do the show. How much longer will this take?
I'm just trying to calm my heart rate down. Doctor told me to do the breathing exercise.
Okay, you know what? Can you do that somewhere other than the phone?
Can I do it somewhere other than the... Yeah, okay, fine. What's with you?
Hey, and Mr. Bozell, with all due respect, you're breathing into the phone like you're having an orgasm.
You are, Bozell.
Well, the doctor told me to breathe that way.
Well, then why don't you warn me, okay?
I'm sorry. Just two more breaths I got to take, okay?
Yeah, do it away from the phone.
All right. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Come on, will you?
What happened?
You know what happened.
The doctor told me to breathe as if it's the most pleasurable thing that's ever been done.
I'm telling you, I can't win for losing tonight.
You know, the problem, Henry, is that your program is already branded as a vulgar and filthy...
I'm not trying to get you in trouble, Mr. Henry.
Let's just now talk. Can you calm down?
Hold on.
Okay.
Would you hang the phone up on him? Because I'm getting sick.
Mr. Bozell, I've got to go.
No, I'm all done. I'm all done. I swear to God.
You swear?
I swear to God, I'm all done.
That was unnecessary. I don't care. I'd love to talk to your doctor. That was making me sick to my stomach.
Well, Ms. Gray, I mean, come on. All it is a man sounding like he's just, you know...
Yeah, well, guess what, Bozell? I don't want to hear it either, okay? You sound like an animal, and I find it impinges upon my reputation... as a decorated veteran of the United States Army, to listen to some animal in another room sound like he's getting his ashes hauled for 5 cents an hour. I used to hear that kind of thing coming out of some of the cheapest dumps in Saigon, where a lot of the officers stayed. I don't need to hear it from you.
I apologize, sir.
Okay. By the way, you just gave away a whole lot about yourself.
You're talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you.
Well, what are you referring to?
Well, you're talking about Saigon.
Well, I'm in Saigon. I heard that, yes. In the officers, where the officers stayed in Saigon, the whole building sounded like that on a Friday night.
Okay, thank you very much, General. Okay, Steve, back to you. Send in the clowns. Hall of Fame looks to partner with Circus World. Will this happen?
Yeah, it sounds to me like it's going to happen. And, Phil, it's going to be a wonderful thing. There's going to be a whole hall after hall after hall of clown paraphernalia, of the clown support teams, of the clowns that might have been, of clowns that never were, of the great clowns, of the clowns that were, quite frankly, rotten. I mean, we're going to do it all.
Why do they call it the Hall of Fame?
Well, we're going to have a little subsection. It's not going to be a big thing, but we are going to have a subsection of... Can you believe it? It's going to be called Can You Believe It? Because I'm consulting with these guys on this, and I very much believe...
You're consulting with the guys who own the Hall of the Clown Hall?
Yes, absolutely. The Hall of Fame of the Hall of the Clown of the Fame. Or, I mean, the Hall of Fame of the Clown. And I said, you got to have a section called Can You Believe It? A Clown That Isn't Funny, you know? And because they're about five or six. There was Roly-Poly, and this was a clown. He was a very famous clown because he just was so rotten, and nobody, you know, Roly-Poly Bully. His name was Roly-Poly Boy, and he worked out of a place. He worked out of Columbia, South Carolina, mostly. I know he got down into Georgia, but mostly he did kids. He became legendary in Columbia, South Carolina doing kid parties.
What was his name again?
Roly-Poly Boy.
Roly-Poly Boy. What did he look like? What was the makeup like?
Well, it was just... He had the big eyes and big lips. He had a big ass. Excuse my. I'm sorry, ma'am.
No, that's all right.
He had a big fake ass. And at that time, this was the late 50s, people were, you know, what is that about? You know, and he couldn't even explain it. He just thought it was funny.
All right. We'll be back with Stephen Bozell and more here on the Clown Hall of Fame. We're talking with him about, well, right now we're talking about some clowns that didn't make, what was that?
I don't know.
Good Lord.
Christmas time.
That's great, bud.
Well.
Okay. Anyway, he was talking about clowns that weren't funny. Roly-Poly Boy. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, Stephen Bozell with us from Corona, California, as we talk with him about the Clown Hall of Fame. That's a pretty good topic for a Friday night, I think. So, Steve, we were talking about a subsection of the Clown Hall of Fame that you hope to work with the guys who are the founders of the Clown Hall of Fame. And I got to get my glasses on again. Of course, that means I guess I have to find my glasses.
Yeah, you're always like dropping them on the floor and everything. Mr. Hendry, you know, you should put on like one of those...
Yes, put on a chain.
Oh, get out of here, will you?
Oh, he doesn't want to do that, Margaret, because he's afraid it'll make him look like an old lady.
Well, you know, you want them falling off.
I got them. I found them. Greg DeSanto. Greg DeSanto is one, and the other is, not David Hoffman. Greg DeSanto was the executive director of the International Clown Hall of Fame, and Sandy Weber. Do you know those guys?
I've not heard of those guys, no. I've never heard of them.
Okay, well, they're the ones in Baraboo. And that's Baraboo, Wisconsin. That's interesting. Why is the Clown Hall of Fame in Baraboo, Wisconsin? That's what we were talking about.
Well, the Clown Hall of Fame is in Baraboo, Wisconsin for one reason, Phil, to rehabilitate the state of Wisconsin. And I think that Greg DeSantos is a native of Wisconsin. And as you know, Wisconsin's taken it off the chin. I say that, you know, with all due respect, I know you joke around with that line, but they literally have taken some money shots. And
okay, can we, you know...
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with this show tonight, but there's an awful lot of vulgarity.
I'm sorry? Did I say something?
Well, yes, sir. You know, Wisconsin took a bunch of money shots.
I apologize. Yes, that's probably pretty rough.
Yeah, this is not a stag party, sir. We're on a broadcast radio station.
I totally apologize, Mr. Hendry. I'm sorry. Wisconsin has taken—they've taken it full in the face.
Wisconsin's taken some public relations hits. Is that okay?
Yeah, I mean that's not all that colorful. It sounds like anything anybody else would say.
Well, the goal here, Mr. Bozell, is to communicate, not necessarily to do poetry.
Okay. Wisconsin's taken some public relations hits because of Ed Gein, because of Jeffrey Dahmer. You know, as I said, they've had some beautiful, wonderful people that have come from Wisconsin, beautiful, wonderful people who've been writers and poets and musicians. And then you've had people that are full cannibals who would eat human flesh just as a snack. And how that, you know, and that's Wisconsin, my man. That's, you know, you go into the backwoods of Wisconsin, you're talking about guys that live in cabins and eat human flesh as a snack. What's that about? I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing that cures it, the Clown Hall, or the Hall of the Clown, or however you want to call it.
What is the name of it, sir?
What's that?
What's the name of this going to be?
The Clown Hall of Fame.
Okay, let's call it that, okay? Instead of Clown Hall. Or the Hall of Clowns? Yeah, can we do that?
Yeah, fine. Jeez.
Phil, you know, give him a break.
What do you mean, give him a break? All right, so, Steve, that's great. Tell me now, we were on the subject of bad clowns. They've got a subsection, you say, that you're working on with the guys. Clowns that weren't funny. Roly-Poly Boy.
Yeah, that was the guy's name.
That's pretty funny.
Now, who is this Roly-Poly Boy?
He was the clown that wasn't funny.
He was a clown. It wasn't a... Mr. Bozell, all you have to do is sit in on any one of the Phil Haney Show broadcasts, and you've got a whole slew of clowns that aren't funny.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
Was I talking about you?
You said... I thought you were talking about... You said Phil Haney.
No, I'm talking about the Phil Haney Show.
Well, where is that?
Well, that's none of your business.
Were you talking about my show?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, boy, that's a shot.
Well, thanks a lot.
I'm kidding around, all right? I'm sort of kidding, but not totally kidding. You know what I mean? I mean, excuse me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Well, Phil, I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's all right. I'm just trying to find my way to 10 o'clock here now. I'm just trying to find my way home, in the words of Blind Faith. Just trying to find my way home on this show tonight. All right. So, Steve, we have of Unfunny Clowns, you had Roly Poly Boy. Can you name another one?
Yeah, well, the hall there, that Section B Clowns that weren't funny, Roly Poly Boy was out of Columbia, South Carolina. And there's another one that was just from up the road in Charlotte. And his stage name was Laughmaster, and he sucked. There's not too much you can say about Laughmaster that's good.
Laughmaster.
Yeah.
That doesn't even sound like a clown name.
Well, there you go. And Laughmaster worked all the kid parties. He did banquets, buffets. Buff jobs. And
what's a buff job?
That way, when you worked a banquet or a buffet, they called it. I got a buff job this afternoon.
Okay.
And Laughmaster sucked every which way but loose. He worked in the...
What era are we talking about for Laughmaster?
Laughmaster was the late 70s. He was well known to stink it out, and yet he kept getting work. So, I think he deserves honorable mention. And then there were other ones like Duty Head and Pee Pee Pants, stupid names, really unfunny clowns.
What makes these guys qualified for a spot in a Hall of Fame, even if it is a section for clowns that weren't funny? It's like an anti-hall. What makes these particular ones?
Well, I mean, these are the ones that people had written in about over the years, people had complained about over the years. There was even an assassination attempt on Laughmaster. Somebody tried to take him out. He sucked so bad. I can even tell you, I've got the article here somewhere. Where's that Laughmaster? I'm going to ask my wife, April, where's that Laughmaster on it? That piece on Laughmaster in Forbes? The piece on Laughmaster in Forbes? Yeah, let me see that.
Forbes?
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Oh, look, Mr. Henry, the depth and width of this thing just gets, it's frightening.
Forbes had an article on Laughmaster.
Yeah, here it is here. This is from October 7, 1979. The clown known as Laughmaster, otherwise known as Danny Sherburn, had his life threatened last night on a quiet street in Charlotte, North Carolina, as he walked across the street to his car from the Aftron Cafe. As he tried to get, as he attempted to get into his car, Model A raced by with two men on the running boards, and they opened up with submachine guns. Now,
opened up with submachine guns.
Yes, sir, that's what it says here. Laughmaster, or Mr. DeBruyne, that I mean, saw the car and dove into his car, thus avoiding the multiple shots. And the car then sped on and out of sight.
Did you say a Model A?
Yes, ma'am.
And this was what year?
1979.
So this is like something, it was like a...
Well, it was like he was being visited by the Al Capone gang from the past.
I don't know what that means.
Well, a Model A, sir, is an old touring car from the 20s and 30s. In other words, it would have been the kind of a car that would be driven by gangs that were doing drive-bys in the 30s. And two guys on the running boards with submachine guns.
I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah, that what you've just described there is something right out of The Untouchables.
I don't know what that is.
Mr. Bozell, are you aware of the world around you?
Yes, ma'am, I am. I just don't know of all of this far-out weird stuff that you people are talking about.
It ain't far-out and weird. It's a part of American history. What you just described to us was a guy walking across the street from a diner in 1979 Charlotte, North Carolina, and he's being assaulted by guys... Let me ask you something. Does it describe what the guys were wearing?
Laughmaster didn't have his clown... He didn't have his clown suit on.
I'm not talking about Laughmaster. I'm talking... Laughmaster?
Well, you're laughing.
Well, that's true. I'm talking about the guys that shot him.
Well, they didn't shoot him.
That I got to ask you about that, too. No, but the guys that tried to shoot him.
Oh, what they were wearing?
Yeah.
They were in striped suits, spats.
Spats and striped suits.
Yeah.
That's right out of the 30s. Are you crazy, man? I mean, that's...
Well, again, Mr. Renner, I don't know.
Now, here's the other thing that I think is very interesting. They had two guys with submachine guns.
Yes, sir. Thompson submachine guns.
And they didn't hit him.
No. He dove into the car, though. We've seen them coming, and he dove in and pulled the door behind him.
Well, that's possible, then. I don't know what kind of car. What kind of a car was he driving?
A Humvee.
A Humvee. Yeah, that's, you know.
Well, I don't know what you're saying. You're saying that he was visited by some time-traveling gangsters? I mean, yeah, sure.
No, I'm not saying that at all. No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that, you know, it almost makes sense for a clown, and they tried to kill him. And can you tell me why?
Apparently, it was the father of a little girl's birthday party that he stunk it out at. And when the father said that he wanted his money back, because there was a $500, this guy, Laughmaster, made a lot of money. There was a $500 deposit that he did not return to the father, even though he stunk it up. And he told the father, go ahead and pout it sideways, and he took off. And the father said, okay, we'll just see about that. And
the father went out and hired these guys?
No, one of them was the father.
One of the guys that was shooting?
Yes, sir. One of them was the father. And he was arrested. They arrested him. He was wearing there's a picture of him right here. He's wearing suspenders, and he's got pants that go up to his navel.
Jesus.
Well, what? I don't understand. It was 1979.
Laughmaster.
All right. Well, you're talking about a bunch of guys dressed like it's the 30s shooting up a guy in the 70s. That's too bizarre.
Yeah. There's a lot that's unsaid. There's a lot of unanswered questions here that I'd love to find.
What questions are unanswered? I can give you the answers.
Well, I don't know if you can't. Why was this guy dressed in 30s regalia?
I don't know. I didn't know that there was anything weird about what he had done.
All right, hold on, Steve.
You look exhausted, Phil.
Well, why wouldn't I be? Are you crazy? I mean, listen to this horse dung. He was attacked by two guys on the running board of a Model A touring car with submachine guns and... And why? Because he wouldn't give the deposit back on a kid's party that he and the father was one of the guys wearing a striped suit and spats.
You hit me with a...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to spit.
As soon as you went spat, it's just, God.
Here, do you want this?
Yeah, I need a napkin.
All right, you get the napkin. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and PhilHendryShow.com with more of the final closing thoughts, if you can call them that, of Steve Bozell. Here on the Phil Hendry Show. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com.
This song's gay. What?
I don't want you using that word anymore, okay?
What?
I don't want you using gay anymore. This is no longer okay to use, all right? This is sort of a, you know how they say that sometimes culture is sped up, it becomes a very hyper, and people think it's a freedom of speech thing. Well, you can say whatever you want. I'm not telling you you can't say it. On this show, on my show, you don't get to say it, see?
Well, but Phil, there are some people who choose to use that word.
They may use the word. You know something? There comes a time when even the freedom of speech thing can't necessarily hold back the tide of what's going to happen. You heard the famous Supreme Court case defining free speech was not yelling fire in a crowded theater. Now, everybody likes to quote that, but they don't really know what it means. See, they don't really know what it means. It means creating on purpose, provoking on purpose a reaction that is dangerous, that could be a danger to the life and limb of the people that you're addressing. Now, I don't think there's any difference between shouting fire in a crowded theater and yelling the word, the N-word. Let's say the N-word in public where there are black people. Now, somebody's going to say, well, they ought to have, I've got a right to insult them. I've got a right to my free speech. Sure, and you could say the same thing about yelling fire in a crowded theater.
But there isn't any fire.
Okay, so what are you saying? There is an N-word in the area?
Well, yeah.
Okay, let's go with that. Now you've got the recipients of that information, black people saying, oh, so you are definitely addressing me in a way that is insulting. You know it. And you are saying, in point of fact, there, look, I see some N-words around here. And so, and you don't expect that there will be a reaction to that?
But there's a difference, Phil. The difference is the fire is something that is a real threat. The end, because it's a fire. You're saying the real threat in this situation is the reaction of people. And those people, they can control that reaction.
So what you're telling me then is the following thing. Let me say anything I want. When it comes to people, they should be able to just hear it and not do a thing, because that's what people should do. When it comes to a fire, which is not a people, but then again, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. The fire does not exist. So, again, the onus is on the people and their reaction.
What do you mean the onus is on the people and their reaction?
Because if you say fire, even whether it exists or it doesn't, the people control their behavior. And so if you're asking black people to control their behavior when they hear the N-word, then I think Phil is saying you could ask other people to control their behavior when they hear the word fire.
But this is a life and limb situation.
Nonetheless, you can still control yourself so that you do not hurt other people.
And what you're doing, Margaret, in both cases is you're holding the person who uttered the words, they are free and clear. They're not responsible at all. So the guy that yells fire, even though he knows there isn't a fire, he's okay, because the people that heard that word fire should be behaving in a controlled manner so as not to take anybody's life, very, very calmly and collectively leaving the theater. And the guy that yells N-word, who knows full well that that's an insulting and inflammatory term, he's held unaccountable. And the people hearing that word, once again, should modulate their emotions, keep themselves very calm, and allow that the effect of that word to pass over them and not react. In both cases, you're asking people to behave in a calm, cool, and collected manner in the face of a provocation. The courts have ruled that that is not a reasonable thing to ask of people.
Well, I'm not saying that I want to. You're talking about freedom of speech.
I'm talking about freedom of speech, yeah. But the court has ruled that there are unreasonable provocations. There are mendacious, if you will, which is the same thing as saying there are dishonest exhortations designed to inflame people, and that is not allowed by law. That is not protected speech.
Hey.
What is he doing?
Cut it out, bud, will you?
Well, it's pretty good. What are you talking about?
I don't know. I just came up with it.
Well, it sounds like you pulled it out of your you-know-what.
Oh, it does.
I don't think it sounds that way at all. I think it sounded very reasonable, and I'm very glad that Phil brought it up, because it's clarified some things in my mind that I've believed for a long time.
What's that?
That you're a liberal.
Oh, so that's it.
I'm kidding.
Well, I'm a liberal, too, and I was simply trying to see the other side of this. Why is that General Schwarzkopf on TV?
Because it's General Schwarzkopf on TV.
Really? Did you know that he's dead?
Really? Did you know they have a thing called film?
Really? Did you know they have a thing called the respect of the dead and not...
What about it?
Really? Did you know they have a thing called they have shown respect to him and now they're still showing him on film?
Really? Did you know that... Never mind. His family could be watching this?
Really? Did you think that they maybe don't mind? Huh? Oh, we just got told to shut up.
Who told us to shut up?
Nikki did.
Really? Is she...
Well, you just never mind. All right, thank you very much. Is Steve Bozell gone?
Yeah, he hung up.
Oh, that's right, he hung up on us. All right, thanks a lot, Steve, for hanging up on me. One other item here, the stunning execution of Kim Jong-un's powerful uncle strips China of its most important link to North Korea's leadership and deepens concerns over how the unruly neighbor will proceed on Beijing's key issues of nuclear disarmament and economic reform. Facing heightened uncertainty, Beijing will likely avoid for now any response that might boost panic or paranoia in Pyongyang, where China is both valued and resented as a key backer of Kim's regime. It's like when you have a gas leak. You want to be very, very careful not to set off any sparks, said Jingdong Wang, an expert on Northeast Asian security. What, bud?
What kind of name, Jingdong Wang?
Don't worry about it. Jingdong Wang an expert on Northeast Asian security at the University of Sydney. At the same time, China is likely dusting off its contingency plans for instability or even a regime collapse that could see thousands of refugees swarming across its border. There you go. What did I tell you last night? You didn't have to wait for this article to come out. You heard me say it.
Good for you, Rush.
Yeah, Phil, you know, you got a very good view thing, but you don't want to be seen as another Limbaugh with the whole my analysis thing.
I'm not saying that. I'm just, I pride myself on looking at current events, and I said to you, I said, look at this. You know, the Chinese are the guys that hold the cards here, man. And if they see stuff going down below the border there, and that's the whole reason why the military won't act. If the military goes in and strikes and takes out these leaders and sets up a military dictatorship, they're afraid the Chinese will come in and take the whole shoot and match over.
Yeah, but what if the Chinese say, yeah, it's bitching. We want the military to do it.
What? I doubt that.
Well, why do you doubt that? You could, well...
I don't know. I don't know what would... But the point is the Chinese have got the cards in this situation. They're the guys that you got to... they're the guys you got to talk to. They're the ones who say, hey, yo, Peking. Hey, what do you think, man, huh? I don't know. So...
What a racist.
Why do you call that racist?
Well, I don't feel it. Just, you know, with the whole buck teeth.
Oh. All right, folks. Thank you very much for being with us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll see you tomorrow. Oh, Monday night. It's Saturday's ahead. I may be rolling out to the desert in my brand new ride, you know.
Got myself a new short, man.
I got a new short, and I'm going to go check it out tomorrow. For now, Phil Henry, Dick Clark. So long, everyone.